How has the teaching series been for you so far? Amen. Say after me, I'm seated in Christ. I walk in Christ. And I stand in Christ. Glory! On Sunday, we began the final phase of this teaching series, which we've called Stand. Glory, how was Sunday service? I've still been getting feedback from Sunday service. One of the ladies in Port Harcourt, she said, she went back home and she was still shaking out the power of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then Sunday service was basically teaching about what we've called the battle-ready believer. We're introducing the subject. And we began to explain the fact that not too many believers are ready for the battles of the Spirit. Are you with me? Not too many are ready to face the battles that the devil will bring on them headlong. Many of them are not ready. And I know that, you see, I know that there is a tendency for people to come to church, hear a sermon, and why they hear the sermon, they're like, wow, nice one again, nice one. But you see, until you are facing these things in your daily life, you will not understand how serious these teachings are. Are you with me? But I pray for you, you will be prepared ahead of time. Are you getting me? You will be prepared ahead of time in the name of Jesus. And then we began to say, how do you get battle ready? We spent the first half of the teaching just trying to enlighten ourselves about the fact that there is a spirit realm and there are battles in the spirit realm. These things are real. Are you getting me? You saw that verse in Ephesians 6 verse 13. It says, we wrestle. Whether you are young or old, we wrestle. Whether you are male or female, we wrestle. Are you with me? Whether you are black or white, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. We began to explain that they are rulers of the darkness of this world. Now, wherever and whenever you see darkness, there are rulers beside it. Are you with me? There are spirits behind it. These things, are you with me? These things are real. You know, we began to also talk about the excesses. Some people say there's nothing like any demon anywhere. There is no devil anywhere. The only devil is your ignorance. But when Jesus was on the scene, he didn't say that. There were people that Jesus met and said, I rebuke the spirit of infirmity. That means infirmity is not always about some biological disorder. Sometimes it's a spirit. You know, there is a difference between a person is sick because the devil made him sick, and a person is not sick but has a demon troubling him. There's a slight difference. If you pray for the sick, a lot of means that you know what I'm talking about. So have you heard cases where people say the person is dying, but they go and check the person, and what the medical people will say is there is nothing? Have you heard something like that? But the person is dying. The person is sick, terribly sick. But when you check all the medical procedures, they will tell you there is nothing there. So that one, the person is not sick. There is a demon troubling the person as sickness, disguising as sickness. Then there are those who are actually sick, and it was Satan that caused the sickness. And there are those who are just sick, just biology. Are you following me? As a girl who was having trouble breathing in the university, I remember, she was struggling with so-called asthma. Praying for her, our eyes are open in the spirit, and we saw a monkey sitting on her head with a tail that tied her neck down to her chest. I And we rebuked it. You spirit of infirmity, you demonic spirit, out! And the demon, the monkey, whimpered away. And she was free. Now, all the thing disappeared. So she didn't have asthma. Are you with me? The problem is, there are too many believers who have lived in the flesh too long. They don't know what it means to be in the spirit. They don't know what it means to be a person of the spirit. To be a man of the spirit. That's what I was trying to talk about in walk. Are you following me? Walk in the spirit. I wish I could take a whole month on that. What it means to be a spiritual man. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And even as a spiritual man, there are some times where you get to places in your walk with God and you're asking questions. You see, you need to know how to investigate. Like, God, what is happening? Why is this now happening like this? They asked Jesus, who sinned that this man was born blind? So as a spiritual person, you should be able to ask, why is this thing happening like this? Why is this thing taking this long? What is happening? Is it that God is trying to take me through a process? Or is it that the devil is causing a delay? Are you with me? Father, your children walk in absolute victory in the name of Jesus. Amen. We are always in step with you in the name of Jesus. Amen. And then we said, how do you get battle ready? We began from Ephesians 6 verse 10. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we spent more emphasis on the other side, the power of his might. Because we said, there are many people who are not strong with the knowledge of God's power. They are more knowledgeable about the devil's power than God's power. Are you with me? They are strong in the knowledge of the devil's power. So when he says, be strong in the Lord, I will talk about that today. But then in the power of his might, meaning you need to have embraced the fact that God is powerful. In other translations, it says, be strong in the Lord and be strong in his mighty power. What does it mean to be strong in the mighty power of God? It means you have to have come to the point where you are standing strong on the fact that God has power. Are you getting me? You know, when someone believe something very strongly and you're trying to change the person's mind, you can quite communicate to somebody else, say, that guy is strong on that matter. Oh, are you with me? He's strong on that thing. That's where he has pitched his tent. Maybe you want to buy a product from someone, and maybe you want to buy a laptop, and you're telling the person, I have 200,000. The person says, no, the price for this laptop is 350. You're like, please. And he says, no, that's my last price. You are begging him. He says, don't worry. He says, no, he's strong on that thing. Are you with me? Yes, you know, I'm trying to break it down. Sometimes when you see be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, what does that mean? What does it mean to be strong in the power of his might? So I try to break it down so that you get it. Are you getting me? So to be strong in the power of God's might is come to the point where you are fully affirmed of God's mighty power. You beat your chest like this. Say, God has power. Say after me, God has power. And I said, one of the ways to do this is to go back to the Bible and read the testimonies or the stories of God's power. Even in our personal lives, we have enough testimonies of God's power. The problem is that we forget. We forget. We just forget about the things that God has done in the past. All of you, at one point in your life, you can remember something that happened and you're like, ah, God is powerful. And even if you cannot remember, there are verses of the Bible that should be your meditation. Are you getting me? When you are faced with a very staring challenge, a challenge that you are like, God, how will I find my way? Go and look for verses like that. We looked at one on Sunday, Psalm 66, verse 3. Say unto God, how terrible are thy works? Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit unto thee. Are you with me? When it looks like, how will I surmount this challenge? You take that verse, you begin to declare, say unto God, how terrible are thy works? Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit unto thee. You begin to look at verses like, once has he spoken, twice have I heard, that power belongeth to God. Glory! Glory. I said one of my biggest surprises is that the verses I see in the Bible that caused me to dance in the house. When I come and share with some people, they are just looking at me like this. When you hear a verse like that,
Once has he spoken, twice have I heard. Once has he spoken, twice have I heard. He did not say twice did he speak for me to hear once. He spoke once and it can keep on re-echoing again and again. Are you with me? Say after me, power belongeth to God. Power belongeth to God. Power belongeth to God. Power belongeth to God. No, it does not belong to the devil. Power does not belong to one Babalawo somewhere. It doesn't belong to Freemason. It doesn't belong to Illuminati. Are you with me? You know, I even feel like God tries to allow men misbehave so that they will think like they have power. They will pray. Are you with me? I feel like sometimes God just allows men to act drama. Are you with me? And he will just be catching some fun. Read the Bible. God knew exactly what to do to get the children of Israel out of Egypt. He knew the exact thing to do. If you remember, before Moses ever went into the land of Egypt to go and meet Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go that they may serve me. Do you know what God told Moses? God told Moses, Israel is my firstborn. Who remembers? He said, Israel is my firstborn. He says, I will smite their firstborn, and then he will let you go. So he knew that if I kill all their firstborns in one night, Pharaoh will let you go. But God now came and said, let's be humble. Let's start small. He knew that the magicians had the trick to convert their rods. They had the spiritual tools, as it were, to convert their rods into serpents. So he pretended like that was his own game too. And started from there. So let me start with what you know. He said, you drop rod, you drop rod. So in their mind, they thought they were playing with their age mates. Not knowing that you are dealing with the rock of ages. The ancient of days. After a while, he will take it higher. Turn water to blood. Okay. Jannes and Jambres do the same. And to them, okay, Moses, anything you can do, we have that trick. You're just new to the game. We've been doing this. After a while, Moses now took it higher. Moses said, God told him, stretch your hands. Let frogs begin to come out and cover the city. When the magician saw it, they say, ah! I say, Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. This thing. And you know why it was confusing for them? The Egyptians, it was a big, you know, when you study the Bible, if you don't do some deeper reading and studying and listening to higher theologians, it was a mind buster for Egyptians. Because for Egyptians, there is a separate God for the sea. There is a separate God for the cloud. There is a separate God for the sun. They worship different gods. But now Moses came on the scene. He was controlling the frogs. Same Moses was controlling... Are you with me? He called locusts. They had a God, they worshiped the God of locusts. They had all those things God was doing. God was telling them, I control everything. Say after me, power belongeth to God. Amen. Okay. Let me give you one more. Jeremiah 32, verse 26 to 27. It says, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Hey, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard? Satan is not too hard. I want you to shout it with a loud voice. It's not too hard. Say it again. It's not too hard. You know, there are some things in your mind when you think about it. You know, in... I believe in electricity, there's something called breakers. Where when an amount of power that is far beyond what that circuit can take, it just shuts it out. I feel like in people's lives too, there are also breakers. There are things you just hear, pa, it's not possible. As you just hear it, you're like, impossible, impossible. Pa, is impossible. But God is telling you that he doesn't have power breakers. There is nothing you will bring to him like that, that... When he hears it, you're like, hey, Michael, that's not what, he doesn't say, oh, Angel Michael, what are we going to do? Can't you see what these people are trying to do? They want to embarrass us. Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
The only reason why there are limitations is for order.
Let me explain what I mean.
The only reason why there are limitations in the earth realm is to put order. Because Jesus is walking. He's walking on land. He meets water. Okay, there is no boat. Let's continue walking. Water and land. I created both of them. I can decide where to walk. He says, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me to do? Okay, I want to feed 5,000. You say there is no food. Okay, to you, the food is not enough. Okay, that's the issue. That is not the bread is not enough. Okay, just be sharing. You will see how 5 loaves will feed 5,000. Do you understand that? Say after me, there is nothing too hard. Say it again, there is nothing too hard for God. Glory. However, today, I want to talk about something. Something I feel is very sacrosanct to the subject of standing. See, if you miss this, almost every other thing on this subject of standing in Christ will have a problem. It will be fractured. Please, are you following me? Ephesians 6, verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Let the people of God say amen. I want to start from that verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Tell your neighbor, be strong in the Lord. Ask your neighbor, are you strong in the Lord? Ask another neighbor, are you strong in the Lord? You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 24, verse 10, it says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small, not that the adversity is great. Are you following me? He says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. This makes me remember one day during my industrial training. I was working in a great company called Halliburton, one of the leading oil and gas servicing companies in the world. As at then, I don't know now. And then we had what you can call, I was working as a slick line engineer. And you had what you can call a plug for a well. And sometimes you have to make up the plug. And when they screw these things and connect these things, they are very tight. Very, very tight. Are you with me? So you make these things up sometimes 30 feet, 100 feet, so that you run it down hole. And so we had gone to a job and come back. And we had to break these tools. And you get what I'm trying to say? We had to break the tools, pieces the different connections. So we are piecing the connections and going on like that. And we got to one point in the connection. This thing was strong. My God. They put a pipe wrench this side. They put a pipe wrench this side. And two engineers, two of us, boom, it did not break. You know, you are trying to. Let me give you the one you can relate with. Maybe your flax or something that is covered. But this one, we have to use a pipe wrench. Big, big pipe wrench. Pipe wrenches. And we are trying our best. Two other engineers came. Young engineers like us. We're trying our best. Then I called our supervisor and said, sir, this thing is unbreakable. Then he said unto me, it's not unbreakable. It's you people that don't have enough power. Hey! He said, well, when the men that have power come, it will respond. Then they called two of the other engineers that have been 25 years in the field.
Me, I was barely 6 months. And they came and said, okay, connect your pipe wrench. The same pipe wrench, the same screws, the same bolts, the same connections. Are you with me? And they went the first time, it losing. When I heard the sound, I said, this thing was losing. What? Did it again? It loosened. Hey. By the third time, boop, it broke. It opened. Ah. I went back and sat. Because let me tell you, at some point, they had placed the other side, and I was trying to press my own pipeline. The thing threw me up. My entire weight was, I went up in the air, and somebody had to catch me so that. I was thinking, then it dawned on me, truly, it's not that the thing was so strong. It is that the people handling it, are you with me? Tell your neighbor, be strong in the Lord. Oh my God. Your house, have you tried to push your house with your hand before? If you try to use your hand to push the house, it will never move. If 30 of us try to push that house, that's your five-bedroom duplex. I thought you would say amen. Oh my, am I talking to you? That's your five-bedroom duplex that you and your husband are staying. You try to push it, you will tell yourself it is what? Unmovable. But bring a bulldozer. And in 1 hour, the house is down. Amen. No, not amen to that one. No amen to that one. Don't worry, you demolish it to build something bigger. Yes. Because you want to expand the estate. Expand your estate. And rent out some more duplexes. Amen. Now say amen to this one now. Encourage this ministry. Praise the Lord. He says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Listen, I like that phrase, the day of adversity. There is a day of adversity. You know, 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goeth about like a roaring lion. So there is an adversary and he has a day. Are you with me? There's an adversary and there is a day of adversity. Are you following me? There is a time it looks like, why is all hell breaking loose? What is going on? If you have lived long enough, you would have met that thing at least once. So the adversary is the devil and there is a day of adversity when the enemy strikes. But you need to have strength to stand. I know we are talking about standing, but you need to have strength. Can you tell your neighbor, you need to have strength to stand? Do you realize that before the apostle says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The first thing he said in verse 10 is, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Are you with me? And in the power of his might, before he tells you to put on any armor, the first instruction is to be what? Be strong. Because even in the natural, only soldiers who are fit mentally and fit physically can take up their armor. Did you hear what I just said? Even in the natural, only the soldiers who are fit biologically, who are fit mentally, who are fit physically. If you are not okay or if you are not healthy, how will you carry the gun? Imagine a Roman soldier. How will you carry your shield? If you were sick and you are shaking like this, how will you carry your shield? How will you carry your sword? Are you getting me? So before we talk about the armor of God, before we talk about warfare, are you fit to fight? Are you fit? Praise the Lord. The first thing is to be strong. Tell your neighbor, you must be strong. So before you go to warfare, am I fit? You have to ask, am I fit? Am I strong? Because let me tell you, the same sword that a soldier will use and fight, if a baby carries that same sword, he will not have the same impact. So the power of the sword is not just about how,
how great the sword is or how devastating the sword is by who is holding it. Are you with me? Are you with me? My daughter, my 3-year-old daughter, we saw something happened yesterday. I saw her with matches. I was like, what are you doing with it? The way I saw her with it, she was, obviously she did not know what she was doing, but she was holding it as though she knew how to light it. I quickly grabbed the thing from her hand, because the same thing that somebody who is stronger or more experienced will carry and produce good results, that thing can hurt you. Jesus alluded to this in Luke chapter 11, verse 21 to 22. The Bible says, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in place or are in peace. Verse 22. But everybody, can we read this scriptures together? Luke 11, verse 21 to 22. Let's start from verse 21. 1, 2, 3, go. When a strong man armed keepeth his good. Now, look at this. When a strong man what? Armed. Keepeth his goods. His goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divided his spoils. Can we do 1, 2, 3, go from verse 21? Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divided his spoils. Remember, Paul told us, put on the whole armor of God, right? Yes, but you see, you have to be a strong man to handle the armor of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, when is stronger than he? When is stronger than he? Aye, my God. Have you ever asked yourself, what is the difference between a witch causing commotion and a believer who is already powerful in Christ, suffering under the hold of darkness? What's the difference between them? I know the believer has the victory over principalities and powers. Yes, the believer is seated with Christ, though. Yes, the believer. Are you with me? All things are under his feet. But why is that believer living as though he's under the hold of the devil? The problem is that there is somebody who is stronger in darkness than somebody who is weak in light. Are you getting it? The guy, the witch who is manipulating things, he has mastered his own. See, let me tell you something. Have you ever been in a dark room before? And all of a sudden, a small light seemed to mean so much. If the Christians in light, if the believers in light can have as much commitment as those in darkness, it will be obvious that darkness is nothing to light. Are you with me? If the people in light can have even half the commitment of those in darkness, it will be clear that the light shineth in darkness and darkness comprehended it not. Are you following me? But what we have is that there are more people who are committed. The people who are committed in darkness are seriously committed. The ones who are in light, they are still... You tell a believer, pray. Don't play with morning devotion. He will be negotiating it. You tell the guy that Babalawo gave instruction. He says, before you go to that office, carry the thing like this. Do like this. Drink it like this. Walk backwards. Walk backwards like this. Make sure, before you leave the house, you take a step like Boy Alinko. You make sure you slide to angle 15 and come out like this. Because if you don't do it like that, something will cut you. They will follow the instruction to the letter. You tell a believer, pray in tongues every day. You say, how will I speak in what I don't understand? Don't worry. But the man that is doing that nonsense incantation, does he understand what he's doing? Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost will give a Christian an instruction. He will take 34 days to obey. He will be arguing, should I? Should I not? Should I? Should I not? Satan will give his own children instruction. And because... you know, the Holy Ghost is a spirit of gentleness. Satan will say, if you don't go, you die. If you don't go, you die. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. When a stronger than he. A good example of what it means. When the Bible says, when a stronger than he shall come upon him, it overpowers him. Look at Acts chapter 19 verse 13. I like this one. Acts chapter 19 verse 13 to 17. The Bible says, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists. Who are exorcists? They are people who claim that they can handle demonic spirits. No, we are not just exorcists. We cast out demons. Are you with me? We expel them. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
He says, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they took the responsibility to go and look for those who have evil spirits. So they heard, it's like, I'm sure the fame of the fact that in the name of just evil spirits were responding, they were like, okay, that one they work. Actually, when you start casting out demons, there are certain things you see that are not exactly biblical practices that people begin that seem to work. Yes. There are things that you will not see in the Bible that seem to work. If you have experience, you begin to see things. But when you study the Bible, you know that for the fact it looks like it's working does not mean it's working. You know, when I was growing in my... Should I say this? I hope I'm not giving too much information. When I was going to my walk with God, I used to ask myself, how exactly does a person know that a demon has been cast out? Is it when the person just says, maybe when the demon has manifested and the person has shouted and shouted, then the person has lies down, like he has slept, then he's free. It took me a while to learn it. Sometimes the person is lying down, the demon is waiting for the person somewhere say, I beg before they kill me. May I do my day face. When we stand up, we come back again. You want me to tell you, Abby? Let me try. So two things. Let me try. So two things. Number one, one of the ways you know the person is free. In your spirit, there's something called have you ever heard me talk about genosko before? Revelation knowledge. So it is. Have you ever carried a large, something heavy before? Then when you drop it, you feel like you load has left you. If you are ever praying for a person, and you are, the person does like he has, is free, and there is load in your spirit, is not free. Oh, now the thing I said, do you understand what I just said? You cast out the spirit, and the Holy Ghost within your spirit is witnessing to you that there is still work, then there is work. The way you know the person is free is just the same way you threw away something and you that is carrying the load, feels the relief. That's when the person that... Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yes,
secondly, this one, it will take you... You have to have used it to get it. You have to release the power repeatedly. You have to release the power of God at least 2-3 times. When you release the power of God and the reactions are finished, usually the angels have removed the demons out. Acts chapter 19, verse 13 to 17. And certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. Verse 14. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priest, which did so. So, let me explain it. 7 sons of a man called Sceva were used to dealing with spirits. They believed that they could handle evil spirits. And so, it's like though they heard that the name of Jesus was causing some reactions here and there. And so, they wanted to try it out. Are you with me? They wanted to try it out. So they went to cast out an evil spirit from someone. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Who are you? Somebody said, who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them. You know, this does not make logical sense. So one man beat seven people at the same time. How can one person? Because you are not dealing with a normal person. Are you with me? You are dealing with a spirit entity here. One man prevailed on seven and beat them. And he not just beat them. He made sure that they fled to their house naked and wounded. Are you getting me? And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of Jesus was magnified. Glory! Now, you know what's happening here is when you say a negative occurrence produces a positive news. So by the time the demon declared, Paul I know, Jesus I know, it was now clear that there is a name in the spirit that commands that commands authority. Also, that also showed us that Paul had touched something in the spirit that the demons were aware of. Are you getting me? There is nothing as important as having the right testimony in the spirit realm. Why do I feel like, please, is this teaching too high? You understand what I'm saying, Abby?
Yes, sir.
There are too many people that have fame in the natural realm. They have swag in the natural realm. They have steez in the natural realm. But when you bring them to the places where in the realm of spirits and powers, they're like, who are you? Who are you? Are you getting me? Also, from that statement, we see that strength in the realm of the spirit is not first about ability, but identity. Are you getting me?
Yes,
it is not first of all about ability, but identity. Who are you? So that means, number one, to be strong, you have to be in the Lord. Are you born again? Are you saved? Are you genuinely born again? Listen. Don't play games. Are you born again? Are you in Christ? Have you trusted Jesus Christ for eternal salvation? Or you are just... a church hyper. Every now and then, online, I see what they call gospel blogs. You know that people that just like to carry things that happen in church? Gospel blogging. Are you with me? I have a vlog. We just talk about things that happen in church, just things that goes on in church. That's not what we're talking about here. Are you in Christ? Because you can be in church and not be in touch. Oh, yes. It's very possible. Who are you? Paul, I know. So that means when you are born again and you are in Christ, your identity has started. Are you with me? You may not know, but let me tell you, every person who is born again, in the realm of the spirit, will shine. If you are born again, in the realm of the spirit, we are different. We are different. Save me, I am in Christ. Listen to the statements that Jesus made. Listen to the statement of the apostles. Whatsoever is born of God, overcome it. So it's first of all an identity thing. Are you with me? Save me, I am born of God. Therefore, I overcome. So strength in the realm of the spirit will begin with the consciousness of who you are. First of all, you must begin with the consciousness of who you are. Number two, how do you become strong in the Lord? Isaiah chapter 40, from verse 28, it says, "Have thou not known, has thou not heard, that the everlasting God, there is no searching of his understanding." Then in verse 29, it says, "It giveth power to the faint, And to them that have no might, he increased strength. Are you following me? He says, the young men shall fall and be weary. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Ah, you missed a place to shout glory. But they that wait upon the Lord shall increase their strength. Let me read it. Can we read from verse? You know what? Can we read from verse 21? I'm reading it just because I like it. 1, 2, 3, go. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Had it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Hey. That stretched out the heavens as a curtain, and spreaded them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing, and maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. See, how are you reading these things and you are just calm? Let me tell you something. Principalities. I'm just trying my best to educate us. In the name of the Spirit, when you come and say, in the name of Jesus, you know, they're not just listening to you. They're looking at you. Do you even know who you are? Do you even know what you are saying? God, I must do that teaching before the series is over. Authority programming. When you are driving a car and your plate number is in Abuja and your plate number reads presidency, there is a way the police is trying to stop you. You look at them. They know that you know who you are. Are you with me? They know. But when you are driving and they say, okay, good afternoon. Okay, no verse. They're like, oh, park. This guy, we are going to obtain from this one. Praise the Lord. Look at the way he's describing God. He says, he that seated upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretched out the heavens as a curtain, and spreaded them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they that shall not be planted. Yea, they that shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow them, and they shall wither, and the wild wind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? You know what? This verse 24 is describing the leaders of the earth. He's saying these people that you call the kings and the people who are, you cannot compare God to those type of kings. If you want to say God is a king and you want to say, you know, just the way a president is, that's a wrong comparison, because he's telling you that like the wild wind, he can blow and they will dissipate. He says, to whom then will they liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number, and calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. Are you seeing that? By the greatness of his might. Let me tell you what I'm doing. I know I'm teaching, but in my spirit, I'm impacting something to you. There is a way you are so conscious of the kind of power behind you. You begin to look at situations differently. I know that I know. See, I may look small in stature, but when I say the host of heaven is behind me, you don't understand. The grand commander of the heavenly hosts. No devil can stop us. So. I thought you would say that. No devil can stop us. No demon can stop you. Say after me, all things are possible. All things are possible. The host of heaven is with me. The creator of the universe is for me. Glory. Glory. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who had created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why seest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Meaning, why are you claiming that God does not know what you are going through? Why are you claiming that God does not see what is happening in your life? Why are you claiming that God cannot discern what is going on? You know, people think that God cannot, you know, God is in heaven. He's there, but he doesn't really know how much is in my account. He doesn't really know the details of what I'm going through. He doesn't know how much my engine costs. He doesn't know if I'm believing him for a horse. He doesn't really know what I'm really going through. He's just there. No, he knows every single detail. Say after me, God knows. Nothing can take him unawares. Nothing can surprise him. God is never surprised. Praise the Lord. When you understand what I'm saying here, you will now know that Satan is a small boy. God and Satan has never fought. God and Satan will never fight. God and Satan fighting is not child, is creature abuse. Child abuse, you can relate to it. It's creature abuse. It's just like saying an ant will fight with you. Read the Bible. God never fought the devil. And he will never fight. He says at the ending, and the angel Michael shall wrap him and stone him into the everlasting pit. God was too busy. He sent an angel. He has more important things to do about our lives. That the devil is still existing is that God is merciful. How will I explain this that you will get it? Then he says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles." Hey! Let me tell you, after being born again and having the right identity, the next thing to do to have strength is just to be with God. Let me tell you, to be a man of power in the spirit is not by what you do, it's by where you stay. Just be with God. There is a way you stay with God long enough. I noticed it in my personal life. You don't understand? See, I will read my Bible and pray. Stay with God. I will read my Bible and pray. There was a day, I've shared that story many times in our old sermons. I was walking into the chapel in the university. Just walking to the chapel. A girl came and tapped me. Bam. And she hit me so hard. So I was like, what was that? She ran back and did like this. Did like this. And ran back and said, "Hey!" She said, as you were entering inside this chapel, my friend, a guy, told me, he said, that guy is carrying power. He said, you have been having migraine. Go and touch him. Me, I did not know that I was conducting something. He said, go and touch him. The girl touched me and got healing and left. There were things that happened in the university. I now know that, stay with God. He giveth power to the faint. 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 Are you with me? He giveth power to the faint. And let me tell you something. When you are staying with God and it looks like things are not happening exactly the same way or exactly the same way you expected. Oh, if I have power, shouldn't this have happened? Shouldn't this have happened? Let me tell you, even when you connect to your socket, is there no called partial contact? For the fact there was partial contact does not mean there is no power there. For the fact some things did not happen does not mean there is no power. There is power. Are you with me? Just stay. Stay connected with God. I want to show you something else. He says, he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. But there is a condition. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So it is true that God increases our strength, but will you wait on him? Please, are you with me? It is true that God increases strength, but will you wait? I am discovering, one of the biggest things Satan does is to manipulate our perspective. He will make you believe that a meeting with the president is more important than your prayer time. See, he will manipulate your perspective to make you believe that the time you spend in the Word of God in prayer is not as important as that meeting you are going for, that meeting you are running for. I have discovered everything that can compete or is trying to compete with God is a lie. It's false. It's not as powerful as... Are you with me? It may take you years to understand what I just said. He said a senior man of God in this country, name withheld, he was sharing testimony to ministers. He was telling us something. Ministers' conference, us young ministers listening to a father in the faith. He was saying anything that can successfully compete with God in your life is against you. He was preaching, and was tired and said, let me go and ease myself. Somebody walked up to him and said, sir, God has told me I should give you a house. He said, wow. He said, truly, I've been believing God. I've been trusting God for a house. He said, but can you come now and see? He said, as you can see, I'm preaching. I came to ease myself. I will go back in. He said, sir, you need to come now. If you don't come now, you will miss it. He said, must I come now? He said, you must come now. If you don't come now, you have to let the house go. He said, then go. He said, the man left. And later that evening, he was like, maybe somebody else would have just continued praying and I would have gone. Maybe I should have told the choir to just go and sing while I go and check this thing out. So now I'm back to this man. He said he was thinking about it all night. Like, Kai, God. Oh, what did I do? I was not wise. Wisdom is profitable to direct. I wish I was wise. Why did I? He said he was lamenting about it. After a while, he felt like God telling him, leave it. Some things you're worrying about, leave it. God pass him. About a year plus down the line, he finished preaching service, closed from service, went back home. In the evening, he had a knock on the door. Bop. Excuse me, so and so person here. Say, yes, please, we want to see you. We are from so and so place. Our boss sent us to give you this document. He said, when you check it, you should call him. He was given an estate. It's more than 25 houses. Overnight, he became a landlord. He now remembered that day that he had to let go a house. Now, he has more than 20 houses. Then he came up with the phrase. He said, that thing you think you are gaining by missing God is making you lose more than you will never know. Let me show you something, and then we are going to pray. I'll show you something and we'll pray. You know, when you are in the place of God that has so much power, you have to take important those that take you important. Remember what we are reading about him? He's the one that can blow a wind and the kings of the earth will disappear like dust. That's not the kind of personality to be playing games with. But the devil will make you to believe that you can play games and just go on. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 22, from verse 31 to 32. The Bible says, Jesus speaking to Peter. He said, Simon, Simon, the devil has desired to have you, that he may sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith will fail not, right? In other words, I have prayed for you that you will have the power to stand in that day. He said, the devil has mapped you. He has planned for you. But I have prayed for you that when that day comes, you will stand. But guess how the strength was going to come to Peter to stand? Few verses later, in verse 46, Jesus took Peter and James and John and said, let's go and pray. In that same chapter, and while he told them to pray, they slept off. Jesus now came and asked them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Meaning, what happened to Peter ought not to have happened. Oh my God. If you don't really know what really is happening here. It means that the real attack was not when Peter was tempted to deny Jesus. The real attack came when Peter was supposed to be drawing strength, he was sleeping. So the real attack in your life is not when the devil attacks your finances, or when the devil attacks your house, or when the devil attacks your finances, or your health, or this one. The real attack comes when the time you are supposed to be drawing strength from God, you'll be sleeping. If the devil can get you distracted long enough, cut you off from receiving spiritual strength long enough, he now knows when you arrive to be attacked. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because two people will receive the same attack. Somebody will walk over it as though it was nothing, become bigger, become greater, and that person will almost collapse. Tell anyone, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Please, are you with me? Chijingi, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. When last, you know, see, we can all come here, wear fresh clothes and smile. But when last did you close your eyes and pray in tongues for 1 hour straight? When last did you read the Bible, read 5 chapters, 3 chapters, let it enter inside you? When last did you build your strength? Are you building your strength, safe? Are you building your strength? When last, there are many things that, see, in my growing, in my work with God, and even in my interactions with ministers, as there are many things that we talk about. When I listen to believers talk, those things are scarce. Pastor Chris say, and that day I was listening to Maurice Cerullo, and while he was speaking, I was in the spirit. I know exactly what he's talking about. I know exactly what he's talking about. I cannot forget times where I will be listening to Bishop Oyedepo. I will be here listening to teaching. The teaching is going on. I've entered. When last did your spirit man receive food? Some people, they are not strong in the Lord. They are in the Lord, though, but they are not strong. Their spirit man is lepacious, struggling to receive strength. Have you gone for 3 days without food before? 4 days without food? 5 days without food? How did you feel? But there are people that are comfortable. 2 weeks, they cannot remember opening the Bible and reading anything. And you think you will have strength? You'll be saying the name of Jesus. You say, in the dream, they were pressing me. I wanted to shout, gee! I wanted to shout, gee, gee, gee! I wanted to shout, Jesus, Jesus! The spirit that will shout that Jesus is not having strength. Oh, yes. Are you with me? Even I, as your pastor, let me tell you something. Eh? Oh my God. You need strength in your spirit. Oh. You need strength in your spirit. When people call me, say, Pastor, I had a dream. You were praying for me. Pastor, I had a dream. So and so thing happened. So and so, you gave me this. And so happened. Pastor, strength in your spirit. If you are a pastor and you don't have strength in your spirit, hey, God. There are many, see, the attacks that come to pastors is on another level. Before, when I have not come this far in ministry, and when I was still, I used to criticize, I would see something, I would say, why are they doing like this? Now that I know. If you allow Satan will just, there are things I used to hear, I used to wonder, what talking about? You just hear a pastor just close the church down, pack this and run away. Like, what happened? Some of them, even the church that was doing well, there was a certain minister, big bishop in the UK, crowd of almost 30,000 people. One day he just came, took drugs, shot himself, just shot himself and died. Tell your neighbor, be strong in the Lord. Be strong. Tell your neighbor, be strong in the Lord. Be strong. Don't play games. Be strong. Let something be in your spirit, man. Learn to take in the word of God. Learn to wait upon the Lord. Look at Jesus. He said, I've prayed for you. That means for the fact that even after Peter denied, was able to come back, there was internal prayers. Jesus had prayed for him. Are you with me? I have prayed for you that don't worry. There will be a shaking, but you will not fail. I pray for you, you will not fail. I say you will not fail. In the name of Jesus. Jump on your feet and say, I'll be strong in the Lord. I'll be strong in the Lord. Can I tell you something? People of God, don't live on chaff. You know what is called chaff? Chaff is when, some time ago in your life, you used to pray, you used to read the Bible, you used to meditate on the word of God. There was a time in your life that kind of thing used to happen. And then, after a while, in your walk with God, you know scriptures in your head, but not in your heart. Oh, so you can quote when you are talking, you're like, this guy is a man of God. This guy knows spirituality, so this guy is sabi. But in your heart, you are empty. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Say after me, I will build up my strength.
I will build up my strength.
Say it again, I will build up my strength. Say it again, I will build up my strength. I have power in the spirit. I am strong in the Lord. Hey, let me tell you, no matter what is happening, be strong in the Lord. Don't worry. I know the money has not come yet, but be strong in the Lord. The open door has not come yet, but be strong in the Lord. Keep building that strength. Keep on building that strength. Are you with me? Things are not working the way you want them to work. Something, maybe in your life right now, the events of your life are not playing out the way you want them to play out. But be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Build up your strength. Can you pray in the spirit right now? Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might.
Wait on the Lord. Wait. Stay with the Lord. Stay. Build up your strength. Build up your strength. Oh, my soul, wait on the Lord. Wait. Stay with the Lord. Stay. Build up your strength. Atta kaparatalia. Build up your strength.